There's a little detail in the first verse of the parable that Jesus is using in response to these quarreling brothers. It's a detail that can slip by easily because we know the story, or because we too often want to get to the end and see what it's all about. However, this little detail is key to opening up what is to come in the parable. It says, "There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest." Okay? Now think carefully. The point is, he didn't do it. The land produced the bountiful harvest. However, this man who talks to himself, perhaps because he has no friends, he thinks he produced this harvest. You see, it's all about him. 6 times in only 3 verses, he uses the first person pronoun, I. But let's be fair about this so that we get to the real point. There's nothing here to suggest that he cheated anyone or stole anything. There's no hint that he mistreated the workers or he's committed any criminal act. But nonetheless, he thinks it's about him. What makes him wealthy is sun and soil and rain. He's conservative and he's careful. But in spite of this, he's a fool. He has a lot of stuff crammed into his barn, but he has no friends. He's alone. And the sad implication of this parable is that he dies alone with no one at his bedside, no one to mourn his passing, and the suggestion is there, kind of subtly, that there are no heirs. See, so it's kind of a contrast between the opening where two guys are squabbling over an inheritance, and here's this guy with all this stuff, and he doesn't even have any heirs. The question asked at the end carries the idea. Asking to whom all these riches will go suggests there is no one. There's no one around to receive his inheritance, much less argue about it, like the situation that starts the whole episode. What makes him a fool is revealed in that very first sentence. He has not believed or perhaps ignored what everyone in the crowd knows from the singing of the hymns at the great harvest feast, or from singing the hymn in the synagogue, Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and all it holds," is the way the psalm goes, "the world and all who live in it." What makes him a fool is his thinking that there's no God. Then he's finally confronted with a God who owns not just the land, but the produce that he's trying to hoard. And that God owns also that guy's life. It all belongs to God. And the fool is the person who thinks that what is God's is theirs to keep. Instead of imitating the generosity of God, this guy acts as though there is no God. And so we're left this weekend with a stark reminder about what Jesus has said before. Having had everything in this life leaves nothing for a future life. So this guy's had it all. And what does heaven offer him? Nothing. It's over. There's not going to be any more. We're left this weekend with the reminder that amassing great wealth often leads to family bitterness and squabbles, as we have heard again and again in the stories of the scriptures, and especially in the story of the prodigal. We're left this weekend with a clear reminder that we are nothing but stewards of this earth and all it can produce, and that what comes from God's earth is not ours to keep or to save. In the end, such saving often reveals a lack of trust in God and the fear that somehow or another things are going to run out. How could it be that a God who has provided so much would suddenly cease being generous unless those God has entrusted with his gifts suddenly start to hang on to what's been given and stop the generosity that's always from God? The behavior of this man would have provided a shock to the people of his time, for in those days, one's self-identity was embedded in one's family, clan, village, or religious group. And every important decision was always made in community, in endless dialogue with others. Every angle was always examined. Every possibility was weighed carefully. Every scenario was sort of painted before arriving at the conclusion. Our modern day notion of individuality is completely foreign to this. And his self-determination almost seems natural to us, but to those at his time, it was very shocking. There's no thought given as to how his decision might affect others, what it might mean to the community. And so we are left this weekend with a look at what our culture's growing hedonistic, individualistic, and egocentric attitudes and behavior really looks like. Foolishness. Lost on this man and the culture seen in him is any sense of gift and duty, leaving us a little sad, but inspired to look at what we have, where it came from, and to ask what we should do with it. When we rest in the arms of divine providence, we'll be able to embrace every person as a brother or sister and all who are equal heirs to the same promise. Competition and hoarding will give way to cooperation and generosity with what the earth produces. Entering into this world will be an experience of the kingdom of God. It seems to me that having the love of family and many friends is a richness and a kind of wealth that far surpasses what can be stored in warehouses or invested on Wall Street. This is the wisdom of this gospel, and to live it is a long way from foolishness. Let us pray.